Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With the 16th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Zach Martin, guard, Notre Dame.
So instead of bringing in somebody that could potentially supplant Tony Romo, they bring in somebody to make sure nobody plants Tony Romo.
One of those boring but brilliant selections, and I think we all remember where we were. Good morning, Metroplex. We are your home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, with the news that Zach Martin yesterday making it known he is finally stepping away at the age of 34, 9 Pro Bowls, 7 All-Pros, member of the All-2010s Decade Team, and a guy who's covered him the entire time. Joining us, our good buddy, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Nick. How have you been, brother?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. Where were you and what were you thinking in that moment when the announcement was made that it was Martin over Manziel?
I can't remember exactly like where my office was at that time or where I was located, but I know I was thinking, thank the Lord, because nobody here wanted anything. Well, I say nobody. I guess the Texas A&M fans that like Johnny Manziel and appreciate what he did would have been excited, but I mean, I know I didn't want that, and I thought they had a quarterback. You know, that's my thing. When you have a quarterback already, why draft one in the first round? So that was kind of my thought there. But you know, if I remember correctly, they had four defensive players that they really wanted, and they all got wiped out. So that's where they kind of landed was with Zach Martin. But as long as it wasn't Johnny, I was fine with that.
How are you summarizing his career?
Well, you know, he's the second best offensive lineman in the Cowboys history. As far as, and I hate saying it like that, you know, on a day like this where we're talking about it. But I mean, if you're a little bit behind Larry Allen, I think that's okay. I think Larry Allen's the greatest guard of all time. Zach Martin, I think, is just right there. I mean, this might be one of those rare cases when you say 1A, 1B. Because he's right there. They didn't have the same success, obviously, as Larry's teams, and he didn't bench press 700 pounds in the offseason and all that. But I think as far as being, you know, at the elite player and top of his game from day one, that's something that not many players have ever done. Has come in the door on day one and been as dominant as he has. That stat that he has, as many holding penalties as all pros, it's just ridiculous. Seven each. That's the defining moment, and that's why I think whoever stands up and gives the speech for him for the Hall of Fame, it should be really quick. You know, hey, Zach Martin, seven. See you later.
Do you trust the Hall of Fame voters though?
No, I don't. I think there needs to be a big change right now in what's going on, and You know, and it's really not a disrespect with the people that I know that are on it, but I just, you know, the Cowboys voters are not even covering the team right now. So I just think, and I don't know how that goes on around the league, but I do think that they need to add some more voters, some different voters, some younger, maybe younger players. I mean, I just think it should be a big difference in what they're doing right now. But, you know, and I don't understand why if they're so backlogged in players that need to get in, why are we only putting in four this year? So that's not why you brought me on, but now I'm turning it into a Woodson Rant.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, so he makes this decision to retire yesterday. Do you think that was a case of the Cowboys weren't going to bring him back and maybe he felt like, all right, if I'm not going to play for Dallas, I don't want to play? Or do you think it was the injuries have piled up too much? Do you think if Dallas were willing to bring him back and start him that he would have given it another year?
I do think so. I think so. I think this is a case where he's really good friends and has been since he got here with Travis Frederick. Travis Frederick, I think, has helped him understand, hey, you got to get out before it gets you. And I think his injuries have piled up more than we know because he didn't miss a ton of games. He did this year, but I think his ankles are really bad, both of them. And I think it's just a point where he's like, I've got to make this move. I don't know exactly the whole, you know, details of the Cowboys of what they're doing and what the contract and what they wanted him to do. But I think, you know, remember just a couple years ago when he set out at training camp and they structured the deal to be set up this way where it was basically going to be two years, that season and then this past one.
Nick, what was he like behind the scenes?
You know, he was just like, I mean, he's the kind of guy you would just want to sit and drink a beer with. I mean, yeah. He's just cool. He's a cool guy. And he understood. I think when he first got here, he was like, okay, he was the third offensive lineman in 4 years to be drafted. With Tyron and then Zach, Travis Frederick and then him. And so, you know, he wasn't really that outspoken, didn't have to be because, you know, none of the linemen were talking much. So he kind of got to, you know, sit back and not be the vocal leader so much. But as time moved on and definitely when Frederick left the team, you know, he kind of adopted that role as the leader. And I'll never forget when he first got here, it was kind of weird. He was the guy we were trying out something new with these there was like just regular glasses with a camera on them, you know, like Clark Kent looking glasses with a camera. And he walked around his first day and it was like, oh, okay, cool. Our first round pick. And now that I know him, I just think how weird that is, how cringy it is because like Zach Martin, he would have been like, I'm not doing this crap. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was just funny. We didn't know much about him and his personality and all that. But, I mean, he's you know, I hate saying the GOAT all the time, but he really is. I mean, he really – him and Larry Allen, I mean, I can't believe how it's already over. You know, that's just – I'm just – I don't even know what to say because I owe him a handshake, I'll tell you this. Because the other when he was standing at his locker at the end of the season, everyone went up to him, started shaking his hand, and he had said he hadn't made this decision yet. So he put his hand out, and I said, "No, I'm not shaking. I'm not doing this." He goes, "No, not till you make a decision. When what are we doing here?" Well, now he's made a decision, so now I owe him a handshake at some point.
You take him one in the first round now because of this. But does this change your draft strategy?
Yeah, I was already there. Like I was already with, but that was one of those spots where I would look to take that. I just think you get great value when you're taking a guard / tackle. Depends on you know what it is. And I think what I loved about that pick was that they didn't waste any time. Like I think a lot of players you've seen over the years, where they're so big and strong, they're 6'5", 330, they have to be tackle, right? If we're taking them top five, they have to be a tackle. And turns out, they're really more of a guard. You just had to get to that second contract to get that. I think the Becton from the Eagles is a good example of that. Leonard Davis way back in the day, Robert Gallery. Sometimes you draft these guys, but really they are guards. And I love the fact that the Cowboys were like, he's a guard. And he even said that himself. I remember him saying, I'm a right guard. Yeah, I'll play tackle if you need me to, but I'm a guard. And so does it change my thing? No, I would look there anyways. I mean, I think they have to build that offensive line even more. And you get me a top, you know, top 10, top 15 type player that can play guard or even tackle. I think your running backs get better, your receivers and quarterbacks get better. So I'm okay with building that offensive line even more.
Nick, you mentioned this earlier that, you know, Travis Frederick was kind of the leader of the offensive line group, and they've gone through different changes over the years like that. And it really is critical to have somebody who's kind of the elder statesman of that group. Is that Tyler Smith now? Is he the leader of that group? Is that who everybody's going to kind of turn to as the voice of their unit?
Yeah, I guess 25-year-old, you know, Tyler Smith. I think that's about his age. If that, I mean, he may not even be that old. But yeah, I mean, he would be the guy. He's what?
23.
That's right, because he was. We looked that up. There's only three players ever, offensive linemen under the age of 24 that have made two Pro Bowls, and so he was pretty happy about that. But yeah, I mean, he's a mature guy, but really smart. Like he would be the guy. Now I don't know how much of the ass kicker, I guess he would be in the room, you know, holding guys accountable. I think he would be. I know, you know, I've seen him. I've seen, you know, former players try to mess with him, and he doesn't handle that very well. So I don't know, Bobby, if you know that story, but
I do.
You know, I'm just saying, don't mess with him. And I think he is a leader. I think he could be that guy, but I do think you need more. I mean, you need more players that are playing the way he does, and you don't have that on the offensive line right now.
Are you going to Indianapolis?
I am. Maybe. I'll be there. I'm going on Wednesday. I'm not going that full week, but I'll be there like Wednesday through Friday.
All right. Does it match the hype of what Bobby has been selling to us as we are arriving that same day?
I don't know what he's been selling.
I just say it's the. I think it's the most unique experience you can have covering the NFL and the proximity that you are to people and the things you hear, and it's completely valuable.
Yeah. It's. Yeah, what I always say about the combine is it lets you know how big that the NFL is. Because, yeah, I mean, if you've gone to the Super Bowl, which I've been once, you know, just because it was at the stadium. But I'm just saying, you know, I haven't gone any other time. But I mean, if you've seen playoff games and seen that kind of stuff. But when you see the combine and you realize we're still, like, what, 6 months away from playing football, but you see how big of an event it is, you're like, wow, this is unbelievable that they're putting on things like this, and we're still – it's not even close to sniffing football, but that's just how big the NFL is. Unique is the best word. There's nothing like it. And I haven't been in a few years. I haven't been since McCarthy's first year. So I'm excited to get back there and see what's going on.
How many hours will – I don't care about all that stuff.
That was COVID.
How many hours will we be spending in a steakhouse or a Steak and Shake?
That's true. I've only been to Steak and Shake like five times, and all of it has been in Indianapolis. you'll spend, you know, at least once a day between those two things that you mentioned. Yeah, you'll be there. You'll be there, and every day that you're there, it'll be in one or the other.
All right, I'm in. I'm sold. Then Nick Eamon, DallasCowboys.com. Give us your initial impressions of this new coaching staff.
Yeah, I so far I like, you know, they're undefeated, so everyone loves that. You know, they haven't lost any games, so but you know what I witnessed the other day and the stuff that they said, I'm on board with that. But I do think that, you know, all those coaches sound that way. You know, Eberflus, I've known him before, you know, when he was here, and he seems like he's ready to go. He seems a little bit more intense,
yep,
I think, than before. You know, and I got to remember the obviously a humbling experience to get, you know, getting fired like that. And then, you know, Hard Knocks, he was a character obviously on there. I think it's more business, more, you know, no nonsense this time around. From what I sense from him, Clayton Adams is impressive. I just like the things that he said. Nobody cares right now. You know, I mean, the fans are going to be like, okay, cool, just show me when it counts. And I get it. I'm kind of the same way, but I do like the things that I heard. And, you know, some of the coaches are talking, like, for instance, Derek Foster, the running backs coach, and he says all the right things, you know, but you're like, you don't even know who your running back's going to be. You don't even know who's going to be in the room right now. But that's okay. I mean, that's, you know, it's a mindset, it's a philosophy, you know, and they're teaching, you know, they'll be teaching the scheme to whoever it is, but it's so early in the game that we still haven't figured out who some of the main personnel pieces are going to be for these coaches.
Great stuff, man. Thank you for the perspective. Cannot wait to see you in person next week. You're appreciated.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll see you guys up there.
Thank you. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, on the retirement of the absolute legend, Zach Martin. Is the Luka trade already a failure, and is Luka already trying to get out of L.A.? We get you ready for the Mavs second half of the season after this.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says you might want to get frequent heart palpitations checked out, but don't freak out right away.
Everybody has skipped beats, whether it's the top or the bottom part of the heart. No one is regular 24/7. What they mean prognostically depends on the patient. A young, healthy patient with a normal heart has some skip beats, premature ventricular contractions that they feel. Significance, very little. Bothersome, we may try to help them out. A different patient that has had open heart surgery, has had heart attacks, they're a scar, those skip beats may carry a very different significance. They might be at risk or worse problems, then we have to evaluate that.
Learn more at DeborahHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Luka sitting out the second night of a back-to-back, and that's just what the Lakers needed. As LeBron scores 40, did you say 11 turnovers?
11 turnovers. So LeBron's work ethic isn't rubbing off on Luka's. It's the other way around.
But they beat the Portland Trail Blazers. The minutes restriction was lifted for Luka, but they still wanted him to go ahead and take it easy. The Mavs finally gave an Anthony Davis update, and they said he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks with further updates to follow. So, Choppy, you did the schedule homework, and that's going to equal about 7 games with the return March 7th, the earliest return March 7th against the Grizzlies.
Yeah, so that again, that is the earliest he would come back, and that would be the 7 games that he would play against Memphis. That would leave them with 20 games left after the 07, and he would miss games against the Lakers, Pels, Charlotte, Milwaukee twice, Sacramento, and Golden State.
Around the room, you have to give your best guess right now. Do the Dallas Mavericks make the playoffs?
Yeah, they get it. They get the play-in game.
And what, that can be 9?
That could be 7, 8, 9, or 10.
Yeah, I mean, they make the play-in. Because right now, the team's just outside the play-in. Phoenix, who's spiraling, and then San Antonio, who just lost Wemby.
Yeah, so they're gonna
make it. And the Wemby-less Spurs beat the Suns yesterday. Wemby out for the year with a blood clot. I mean, you can make the play-in at 10. Yeah. 7, 8, and 9, 10.
You got to win 2 games, though. When you're 10, you got to win your 9-10 game, then you got to beat the 7-8 loser.
Right now, the Mavs are the 8th seed, 1 game behind the Timberwolves, 1.5 games up on the Kings, the Warriors, and that's it.
You know what we're going to be watching for the next 27 games, though, right? We're just going to be, I am anyway, going to be just crossing my fingers and praying for a crawl up to 5th, and the Lakers get 4th, and then we get a first-round playoff matchup against the Lakers.
Juicy.
And Nico gets his revenge.
If they win, if they go up against them in a playoff series and they dispatch Luka, would he go, see? Told you.
ESPN on...
Trust in Nico.
Who's that?
Me.
Oh. Alan Hahn. Oh, that's as bad as the...
Maverick's looking for some revenge tonight.
Other clip he plays about me. You can't saying that stuff around here in these parts. Alan Hahn on Get Up was asked if the Mavs trade was already a failure.
How could it possibly be a failure? How many players did they play? 3? Well, hey. I'm with Monica. Give it time. You have to see it play out before you start calling something an absolute failure. There's no absolute here. Anthony Davis is not 40 years old at the end of his career. This is not Kwame Brown for Pau Gasol. This is a really good player who probably fits with Kyrie in the way they want to play a lot better.
But
and they don't have to pay him $350 million.
Championship. The man's hurt. He played 2 quarters.
Okay, again, is this his last season or is he going to be back next year?
Got hurt.
There's no way this is a failure.
Right now, though.
Yes.
We talk about the duration of what Anthony Davis' contract is currently right now, how it's constructed. But when I looked at this team, when they went and played the Houston Rockets in that first game and AD and Max Christie combined for 49 points, I said, whoo, I basically had right then and there the Dallas Mavericks going to the Western Conference Finals.
This is so stupid.
Okay, so you
really? Because I thought we're going to have a disagreement in here. I don't think we're all going to be on the same page with this.
Like PR-wise, it's absolutely a failure.
Yeah.
And it will always be a failure for the most part. Mm-hmm. On the court... Yeah, you can't call this a failure yet. They haven't.
I think you 100% can say it's a failure to trade away a 12-year window.
Well, okay.
Like there's no win. I don't know that there's any winning you can do to sacrifice a whole decade after it.
Well, okay, but yes, you can't call it a failure. The Lakers can call it a success to me immediately.
I agree.
They just, they traded old for young, and they got a 10-year window.
Yep.
The Lakers automatically can call this a success. What Nico did is he manufactured a window that didn't need to be manufactured. And he's put a timeline on it. But, yeah, you could, if they win 2 titles, you call it a success.
Yeah,
sure.
It depends how you define it. I agree with Alan Hahn. You can't say it's a failure right now. Depends how you define it. Are we going to judge it by titles in the next 5 years? Do you only want to judge it by a 10-year window? If you want to make it a 10-year window, fine, you lost.
Yeah,
but I could also come back and say, well, the Mavs won a title in the 10 years and the Lakers didn't. We don't know.
Right, we don't know. The Mavs are playing for one ring. But the Mavs are now they're playing for one ring. And they traded away a chance at, 5 rings, 3 rings,
and
whatever.
They may have traded away a chance for one immediate ring with the better player who was just in the NBA Finals.
Right. Well, and here's the thing.
But we don't know how AD and Kyrie are going to fit.
Here's the thing, and this will be the thing we never get the answer to. They can win a title, Dallas can, and there will still be people, probably myself included, who say they were going to win that title with Luka anyway. Like, there's no, you can't definitively say Davis swapping it for Luka, that's what made them win.
Well, and you're right, you can't factually say it, but if if the identity of these Dallas Mavericks, if they win the title being like the San Antonio Spurs Twin Towers, where you cannot score against them, they're setting a record number of block shots like they did against the Rockets for their season high. They're pounding everyone, and we can clearly say they won the title because of size. They zigged when everyone else was zagging and shooting threes. Then I do think we can confidently say, all right, this big man formula that Nico switched to won the championship that Luke would not have. Now, again, you can't definitely say none of us know, but this big man identity, that's their formula.
And I mean, you remember, and it's right
now. They still would have, by the way, had a big man identity, arguably, with Gafford and Lively.
And Moses Brown now.
That's what sucks, though, is you never gave this team a chance.
That's right.
I really wish.
They
didn't want to pay the Supermax. We know that. Mm-hmm. But, yo, man, let him come back. Let's see how dangerous we can be with this roster and then trade him. But, man, we love this roster. I love the roster.
It was fun. It was deep.
Big.
It was a good roster. Yeah. Deep and big.
Like Lively and Gafford, that was big enough.
Yes, absolutely was. And now
you
also tick off, like, dude. And I, you know, I always kind of go back to this. You know, you did, and it's not their problem, but it might be their problem. They cost Luka $116 million.
Yep.
Sign him and then trade him. But now it looks like you were just trying to save money. Does that resonate around the league?
And you may have traded Kyrie and Luka. I'll be stunned if Kyrie Irving comes back here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think you lost Kyrie Irving as well. Unless Nico knows that's not going to cause Kyrie to just walk out the door.
And if it causes Kyrie to walk out the door, then he just didn't have the Mamba mentality. He wasn't committed. He should have had that same standard I did. He should have known the seal handshake, and he didn't. I don't know. I look at it and I say, there's you're innocent until proven guilty. This trade is so bad.
Yep.
It's guilty until they are proven innocent. So to me, it is a failure until they show it's not. I think you have to say, no, it's a failure because you didn't get the return or anything else.
Yep.
And until you show me, I'm going to say it is.
NBA second half storylines from Bro Bible. Can the Lakers play good enough defense to be true contenders? No. I'll answer that.
No.
Can the Celtics regain their consistency from last year? I'll answer yes. Can the Knicks avoid the injury bug? They needed overtime to get their win last night. Will the Sixers pursue the playoffs or shut Joel Embiid down? Shut him down.
Shut him down, man.
Can the Mavericks survive the injuries to the front court?
No.
Can the Orlando... Well, you said they're going to make the play-in. Can the Orlando... Sure. Will they play a playoff series?
No.
Will they win a playoff series?
No.
No, they will not win a playoff series.
The Bulls are in the play-in right now. They're 22-34.
Ugh. Can the Orlando Magic find some scoring? Can the Oklahoma City Thunder properly reintegrate Chet Holmgren? Can a rookie emerge as a future star? Can the Spurs go on a run? That's over and done with Wemby out. And a lot of people, I'm going to connect this now. A lot of people yesterday were saying, watch those damn ping pong balls again, because the San Antonio Spurs are about to get their big three. Falling into the Cooper Flag sweepstakes.
Man, that would be interesting.
I mean, more than interesting.
If they had those three,
it'd be must watch.
Yeah.
It'd be must watch. Right now, because again, do they do the worst three teams have the same odds? Wizards have 9 wins. The Pelicans have 13. The Jazz have 13. The Hornets have 14. The Spurs have 24. So they're 10 games better than even the Hornets.
Yeah, they would have to
beat Luka the other night.
Really get lucky. Really get lucky to get into there.
But did they get lucky for Wemby? Were they one of the bottom three for
Wemby?
They
were, yeah, they were bad, I think. I'm trying to remember, but they were really, they had been awful that year because people were talking about them tanking.
Then you got this Bobby Portis suspension, RJ.
Dude, this is interesting. So Bobby Portis was suspended.
I think we're finally going back 20 plus years, going to buy a PED excuse.
Yeah.
Spurs, by the way, they had the second worst record. They were top odds.
So Bobby Portis is banned. He plays for Milwaukee, banned 25 games for violating the anti-drug policy in the NBA. It sidelines him for a majority of the rest of the year. He had a positive test for the drug tramadol, which is a pain medicine. It's pain medicine. And it is an instance that his representative, his agent, said was an accident. He said he made an honest mistake. He unintentionally took pain medication called Tramadol, thinking he was taking pain medication called Toradol. And Toradol is approved. That is, and he has used that previously in teams and players used for pain and inflammation. And it's a wonder drug, man. You want to talk about relieving pain. Toradol, holy cow. Tramadol is not an approved pain med and was just recently added to the substance ban list this past spring. Came from an assistant of his, a valid prescription for the painkiller. I totally buy this. And the medical community is actually kind of livid over this. They are slamming the NBA. They said it's the weakest painkiller we could prescribe. I don't even bother prescribing it because its effects are so mild. If it's banned, it's banned, but it just shows how haphazard the NBA policies are. That's an ER physician that said that made that comment.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting where it's like Toradol's the approved, but there's a lot of criticism over Toradol.
Yeah,
in professional sports, they don't let NFL players take it within certain windows of games because there's been so much scrutiny on it. There's a lot of other people who back it up and say that it's something that Pat McAfee said no players need it. But, there's a lot of medical community that doesn't think the NFL should be using it.
By the way, Shams firing a Giannis warning shot yesterday, saying, everyone knows Giannis loves the Bucks, but I'm here to tell you he loves winning more. So I'm taking that as a message. If Milwaukee gets eliminated early, Giannis could be wanting out. The Bucks know the pressure of winning. There you go. Getting you ready for the Mavs and the second half of your NBA season, if any of you are actually bothering to watch. You are not going to be watching this Texas institution. RJ said the unthinkable has happened. Bobby is lost. What the University of Texas has decided to cancel? That's B-Lo, the belt, next on 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're
not.
Over to you. You, Bobby.
The lines aren't just blurred between college and the pros. They are gone. Completely wiped away. Let's talk about it in Below the Belt here on 105 Through the Fan. That's what I do. I gotta push the branding since Peyton's little intro there skipped, and so we didn't know what it said. But all right, so Steve Sarkisian was on speaking with Kay Adams, and he made an announcement that had been rumored for about the last month. And it was something that, you know, we talk about, like, sometimes you float things to see what reaction is. I kind of wonder if this was one of them, that it started leaking out in reports that, Texas might be considering getting rid of the spring game, the orange-white game. And this is something that, you know, that's where we see Arch for the first time. And it's a big, like, it's a big to-do there in Austin where people get really excited about it. And Longhorns fans get excited about seeing the new incoming class or some of the guys that maybe they don't get a chance to see as often on the field because they're freshmen or sophomores and they're waiting for their shot. And so it's always been a good chance to just kind of celebrate, have a nice, easy exhibition game of sorts for the Texas program and for colleges in general. A number of them do this.
Dude, the amount of people that go to these games, if you never went to like a major university, they get 80,000 for these games.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's interesting about this. Like, it's on TV, a lot of these scrimmages get paid. Like, I mean, I would assume there's decent money connected to this. So for them to drop it is really fascinating. I think it speaks again to...
You said USC already did it?
Yep.
USC and Nebraska. Nebraska did it last year. USC, along with Texas, this year did it.
And it's interesting because you look at it and go...
Where's the bell?
Nah, it's over here. You can't have it anymore. It's mine. I control it exclusively. Steve Sarkisian is a guy who has worked in the NFL. May have aspirations to work in the NFL again one day. Lincoln Riley is a guy who people have thought has aspirations to work in the NFL. We know Matt Rhule has already been up to the NFL level. These coaches are opting more for NFL-style offseason approaches. In fact,
I assume Bill will do the same thing.
Yeah, I would guess so. So what Steve Sarkisian said was, he said the development that's needed for these guys to get ready for the fall is a little bit different than it used to be, so our approach is going to be a little more NFL-driven, more of an OTA style early on. And as we grow into more of the scrimmage formats in the second half of spring ball, I just don't know if rolling the ball out and playing a game if we only get 15 practices is the best for us to maximize the opportunities that we get. And it's just another item in the last 2 years, I would guess, where college football has rapidly changed its complexion, its makeup, to where it looks more like the NFL. You've got general manager jobs. That, I remember the first time we heard the general manager thing, and you were completely thrown off.
Like, Alabama.
That's a job in the in college football now. There's 14-team playoff structure we're probably heading for, just like the NFL has right now. You've got the offseason practice schedule structure that they're going for.
They're just ripping away any guy's thought, banner, anything pretending to be about academics.
That's
what Belichick's thing. He's like, screw it. I'm just telling you. My selling point to you, we're a football factory. Mm-hmm. We're not pretending. Ain't no games. Nothing about it. We're a football factory. Come here.
And people have always, you know, you will have people who are fans of college football that don't watch the NFL. You'll have people who are fans of the NFL that don't like watching college football because they are, historically, they have been two very different games. You're starting to see more rule changes at the college level that are mirroring closer to the NFL. You're seeing a blend of those. You're seeing coaches kind of float back and forth between the two levels. And now, like, free agency in the portal, bidding wars for players, all of this stuff is making it to where college football is no longer a different game. It is the NFL's minor league system. It's minor league players getting paid to basically prepare themselves for the NFL. Some minor leaguers make it to the majors. Some of them don't. Just like this, there are going to be some that potentially make it up to the NFL through the draft and some that don't. But this is essentially now the NFL's system. This is their ownership. It's more linked than it's ever been before now with all these changes.
I don't care about this. Like, I don't really have a...
angry. You didn't gear up for the Tennessee Volunteer spring game. Did you ever go?
Yeah, I went. It was fun when I was in college, but like...
Do you mean you don't have a... You're not worked up about the spring game specifically or about it college football changing?
About the spring game specifically.
Oh, okay.
I just don't understand. What are you really gaining by getting rid of it? You're going to scrimmage anyway at practice.
Right.
Just make money and have 80,000 people there.
Yeah, I agree.
How many more practices or study time are you gaining by eliminating this?
So I think they view it as...
It begins the great hype factor.
So they get limited, obviously, to those 15 practices. They view it as, and what he's saying, and what some of these college coaches are arguing for, is those scrimmages are productions that make money and do different things. So there is a little bit of a show aspect to what you're practicing. You're doing certain things that are a little bit more like, okay, well, this is also a television product. We want it to be entertaining. So let's start. The script will look different. Their practice will look different if it's not on TV.
Yeah.
And so they may feel more like, we got to get more fundamentals and we got to take advantage of this time, especially with so many guys going in and out of the portal that are transferring and bouncing around. They need as much time on task as possible.
Are they worried about players showing out in these games and then having it be on tape? And then not playing, and then getting a portal invite or a portal, you know, a transfer invite.
I mean, I hadn't thought of that. That's possible. I would guess that there's not necessarily a whole lot you can do in these scrimmages that would make somebody sit up and go, "Oh, we got to go get that player that they wouldn't have already thought about." Them, right. I would think. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. That's why a lot of people, Cowboys, NFL teams, they don't like putting their scrimmages on TV.
Sure. I mean, look, I enjoyed going to the spring game, but you know, I need stakes. There's no stakes in it. You know, I'm not like at this point in my life, I'm not tuning into the Tennessee spring game if it was on TV. I don't even think I would consider watching it.
Yeah, but
what's different about that versus I'm Mr. Stakes.
Sure.
But who's the new prospect? Yeah. That's the excitement.
Yeah, it was people, they got to see Arch. Yeah. That was fun for people. Mm-hmm. You get to see these new players coming in. And so
it's a chance for them to play on a big stage too, because like if you're a quarterback and you've never played in front of 80,000 people, that's a really good way to get a free, risk-free 80,000 person.
Pepe, are you disappointed about this being a Longhorn fan?
Yeah, I wanted to see Arch for the first time. You know, like actually be the starter for the team. I mean, and maybe it's because you know they don't want to have film out there on Arch. Maybe that's another reason why they don't want to have the spring game. And Sark also had said, you know, maybe it's because you know this team that Texas has played 30 games in the last 2 years. They don't want all that you know physicality there. But yeah, I'm disappointed, man. I want to see him.
I think it's. It's something where college has always been so much about the rabid fan base you built in and the loyalty and just I'm through and through Texas Longhorn Rivals. It just feels anti-fan base.
College edition of Below the Belt on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, so this clip of Rick Pitino, I love this one. So there's a Netflix show, Red Storm Rising. I think it's on Netflix. And he is talking about, it's like, it's following them throughout the season. And he's done a really nice job at St. John's. They're in the top 10. They're going to be one of the top three or four seeds on the top three or four seed lines in the tournament.
I would have hired him at a big time school.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And he's perfect for St. John's. I mean, he's from there. He's an older guy, just, you know, basically ending his time for probably what was probably his childhood team. Well, boy, he lays into his team at this halftime speech and basically calls into play all their issues, their toughness, everything in this halftime speech. I thought this was pretty good.
Dig in and be a basketball player. Dig in. Every time you miss a shot, your game deflates. We don't care about your missed shots. Play defense. You guys keep blowing opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. You're like children with bad things happening. Instead of digging in and be tougher, you wilt. Where is your toughness? Where have you guys been raised that you're so weak mentally that you just give up when something doesn't go right for you? Don't you know what adversity is all about? That's the game of life, not the game of basketball. You don't get down when things go wrong. You dig in and get tougher. Your whole life's going to be adversity. Learn how to deal with it.
Everyone's going to love this. I do admit, when I started watching this halfway through, I started rolling my eyes a little bit. I thought it was...
You think it was fake?
Playing to the cameras.
Playing to the cameras?
Bit.
Yeah.
Not fake.
It crossed my mind.
Playing to the cameras a little bit. But I usually love Patino. He's brutally honest.
What was the... We had the quote from him last year somewhere. He's basically like, all our guys suck. We're not very good. He's just... He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. There's some life lessons in there. I mean, like, you know, like you're going to get... knocked down. You got to find a way to get back up. Like, you know, you really want, like, I want my kids to get their heart broken, like, at 16, at 15.
By the way, Corey Major said Matt Rhule recently, as you all say, canceled the Nebraska game, said he didn't want other teams seeing his players and stealing them with NIL money.
So there you go.
That's interesting.
That was a great point, Peyton, earlier. Yeah.
Fantastic point.
Right after Choppy made it. On that point that where he said you want your kids to have that, I always think of the Michael Irvin quote. I heard him say this in a speech one time where he said the most important thing you can give your kids is your struggle. He said you want to make things more comfortable, do things like, he's like, but you do also want to give them the things that you had adversity with and powered through and made you the person that you are. You want them to have some of that too.
Right. You absolutely do. They become more well adjusted, better, more well rounded. So that's the part from this. And oh, by the way, Patino's kid said, I just got PTSD from this. Because he's like, this sounds exactly like what he would do to me when I didn't make my bed in the morning. So, College Kegger here, 105 through the Fan. So one of the changes in college football that we mentioned about with the spring games, another one is Deion Sanders. And Deion he calls it a waste of doing personal recruiting visits. So he has not done a great job, not because he can't, just because he hasn't tried to in terms of high school recruiting. Right, he has done almost exclusively transfer portal recruiting. So he has not really delved into that. But he has a $200,000 budget for personal recruiting visits. And he has said, well, I'm not doing it. I am not doing any off-campus recruiting visits, despite the fact that he has that private air travel and all that. And he said, been there, done that. I don't go to nobody's school or house. I'm not doing that. I'm too old. All the kids I recruit, they're in the portal. They've grown. They're grown men. They got kids. They don't need me to try to convince them to come play for me.
Ooh. What? This is why he, even if he's had success, even if some things there have been beneficial, this is why ultimately he is an unserious candidate. Is because if he wanted...
Imagine if he told you this sitting down as the AD, this was his recruiting plan.
I'm
not going to recruit high school kids.
If he wanted to...
Go to their school. I'm not going to be in a living room.
How did... Travis Hunter is somebody he got... As a high schooler and as a middle schooler, like, that's how he connected with Travis Hunter. That's it.
You know why he would say? Because I'm prime time.
Yeah.
He came here. I didn't need to go in his living room. I'm Deion Sanders.
That's why he won't interview. That's why he's like, I'm not interviewing for head coaching jobs. But I don't need to. I'm Deion Sanders.
We sit here and talk about, like, is it going to be awkward for Belichick to sit in the homes of parents and talk that? Like, is he going to be good in that space? Deion would crush talking to parents about the young man he was going to turn them into. Mm-hmm. He would absolutely just, if he came to Texas, Colorado would get so many commits from the North Texas area if he was in these homes. And he doesn't want to.
Did you become a hockey fan after last night? The winners and losers of the Four Nations will have crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece as well. And facial hair is taking over the sports world with the breaking news that just came out. Final hour of the week with a Friday edition and a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on next.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.